Praise God, praise God. Today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. We're going to continue with the series of faith that moves mountains. How was your faith this morning? Do you have a faith that moves mountains? It's a question today. So turn into your Bibles to Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Let us all stand in reverence to the Word of God. Here Jesus makes an incredible declaration, an incredible statement. He's teaching his disciples about faith. And this is what he said. And he replied, "Because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, because nothing will be impossible for you." Nothing will be impossible for you. And all you need is to have faith as small as a mustard seed. Let us pray. Dear God, I just give you thanks once again for your word, because it encourages us. It lifts us up. Thank you so much. I pray, Lord, this morning that your word can talk to us, that it can lift our faith, that it can grow our faith. Thank you once again for your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. So I want to ask you a question. By any chance, does anyone know, can anybody see what I have in my finger? Anybody? I mean, I know some of you guys have good eyes. My eyes are shot, so I wouldn't be able to see anything, not even from close. But those that have good eyesight in the back, you guys, can you guys see what I have in my finger? Yes, what I have in my fingers is a mustard seed. You can't see it because it's pretty small, but I do have a mustard seed in my fingers, believe it or not. The mustard seed is about 1 millimeter all around. You see a lot of this seed, a lot of this mustard seed in the Middle East is where you see a lot of it. The mustard seed is mentioned various times in the New Testament. Jesus uses the mustard seed and mentions it in many of his parables. In this particular passage that we've just read, Jesus is teaching his disciples to have faith. Faith as small as a mustard seed. And did you see what the verse says? That if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to move there and it will move. And that nothing is impossible for you. So I want to ask the question once again, how's your faith this morning? Is it a faith that can move mountains? Is it a faith that you can tell this mountain to move from there to there and that it would move? A faith that overcomes the struggles that we have in life, that overcomes the issues and problems that we often have in this life. Do you have faith like a mustard seed? Because church, I want to tell you this morning that miracles exist. Miracles do happen. You can move the hand of God. So at this time, I actually want to give everyone a mustard seed. At this time, the ushers will be handing out the mustard seed. So please grab one. Come on down, brother, and or Doug. Yeah, I want everybody to have a mustard seed. I want everybody to as I continue preaching, I'd like everybody to know exactly what I'm talking about. Many times we don't understand certain passage or verse because a lot of times it's hard to really understand what that first audience understood or how they understood it. They knew perfectly well what it meant when Jesus said to have faith like a mustard seed, because that's, they had that. They grew that back in their time. And Jesus was saying that kind of faith, just that little bit, just that little bit, don't drop your mustard seed, or else you'll never find it again. If you need another one, Doug can give you another one. Just raise your hand. Doug, I think they dropped their mustard seed. But I really want you to understand what Jesus was saying when he said you have to have faith like a mustard seed. Because all the heroes of the faith in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, they did great things for the Lord. And they needed to have faith like a mustard seed to do the things that they did. A lot of times we think that what these men and women did in biblical times, we think of them as having great faith, and they did. But all they needed was to have faith like a mustard seed, like what's in your hand right now. So I want you to really understand what it means to really have faith. I want you to understand what kind of faith it took for David to defeat Goliath. Remember that story? I want you to understand what kind of faith it took for Moses to split the Red Sea. Man, I sometimes wonder about that. And I kind of put myself in that moment where the Red Sea splits in half. And then see almost 2 million people pass through it. It must have been something impressive. I want you to understand what kind of faith it took Elijah to have rain, to have fire rain from heaven. Man, that must have been a sight. I can mention so many more. And again, it's the kind of faith that Esther needed to save her people. It's the kind of faith that allowed Enoch not to see death. It was the kind of faith that allowed the apostle to do signs and wonders and miracles. At a minimum, all of them had faith the size of a mustard seed. We have learned in the past weeks that God is pleased when we put our faith in action. We saw that these last couple of weeks. And in this passage, Jesus is teaching his disciples about faith. He's instructing them. So far, he has taught them, if you go back in Matthew even, just Matthew, if you go back from the first chapter, he teaches them how to live in the world. He teaches them how to be humble. He teaches them how to be patient. He had taught them how to be disciplined in their walk. There's so many things that Christ taught them. They were real life lessons. He taught them about the kingdom of God. He told them that he was the Messiah. And if you go forward, Matthew 19, there, you're going to see that he teaches them about divorce. He teaches them about children. You must be like a child to get to heaven. Basically, that's what he teaches them. And he teaches them about wealth. He even tells them that he would die and that one day he would rise on the third day. And Jesus told them all these things. But now, right now, he was going to teach them. He was going to give them a lesson about faith.
So let's set the tone here. Let's look. Let me give you some context before we dive into this lesson that Jesus was about to give them. So go back to your Bible, to Matthew 17. We're going to read from the first verse. Let's see what was happening before he teaches them this lesson. Matthew 17, I'm going to be reading from verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus alone. And they were coming down the mountain. And Jesus commanded them, tell no one of the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. As you can see very clearly, he's telling them that he was going to die. Keep in mind that Jesus was not with all of his 12 disciples. He was only with 3 of his disciples. The other 9 stayed behind. He was with Peter, James, and John, his inner circle. And they had gone to this what we call the mountain of transfiguration. The mountain is actually called Mount Tabor. My wife and I were there when we went to Israel. It's a tremendous sight. We didn't actually go on a mountain, but we saw it from afar. That mountain is the mountain that Jesus transforms himself. He shows himself as in his glorified body. And not only that, but Peter, James, and John were transported to a piece of heaven here on earth. And on that mountain, the mountain of transfiguration, Jesus appears as he really is, God. Jesus showed himself as God because Jesus is God. There should be a lot of amens and praise God and praise the Lord right there, you know? Because let me tell you something. There are so many religions today that want to convince you that Jesus is not God. They want to teach that Jesus is not the only way. There are so many false teachings today that want to tell us that there are other ways to heaven. In church, family and friends, those that are listening through the live stream, there is no other way to heaven. There is no other way to eternal life with God. There is no other way. Jesus is the only way. How many can praise God this morning for that? This is what Jesus said on one occasion, John chapter 14, verse 6. He said it himself, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, says the Lord. So Peter, James, and John were having this mountaintop experience. You read in the text that they wanted to make more tents, one for Jesus, one for Elijah, one for Moses, and they wanted to keep praising the Lord. They wanted to keep worshiping God. And I mean, it was a crazy moment. It's just like us here many times. I'm going to say all the time. Where we also have mountaintop experiences. Where we praise the Lord. You know, sometimes, again, I'm going to say almost all the time, I don't want to stop worshiping the Lord. I want Javi to keep on going, man. Keep on going, brother. Keep on worshiping the Lord. I don't want it to end sometimes. I want to keep praising God because I want to keep feeling his presence in my life. There's nothing like feeling the presence of God in your life. I don't want it to end. I want to keep feeling his presence. But there came a time for Peter, James, and John while they're having that mountaintop experience where, you know, the lights got shut off. After a moment, they realized that it was over. And they start coming down the mountain. They started coming down to reality. Doesn't it happen to you sometimes, like on Sundays too? Man, we're praising the Lord, praising God. I don't want to leave. But the moment I leave those doors, you hit reality. Not only that, the following day, you got to go to work. And at the foot of the mountain, the rest of the disciples were waiting for them. The multitude was waiting for them. Mark, in his gospel, says that in the crowd included the scribes, Jewish lawyers, and just the people, the multitude. They were all waiting for Jesus to come down from the mountain. Follow me here on verse 14. And when it came to the crowd, a man came up to him and, kneeling before him, said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he has seizures and he suffers terribly, for often he falls into the fire and often into the water." So immediately, again, he's coming down to reality, to the real world. And in that crowd, and in that group of people, there's a man that has a need. He's a dad. We see in the text that the dad kneels before Christ. He humbles himself before the Lord. We see very clearly that he holds Jesus in high esteem. He had respect for Jesus. Most likely he had heard that Jesus can do miracles. He probably saw them. Because there was no one like Jesus in all of Galilee. And he knew Jesus could heal. And this is what he tells Jesus. He says, "Lord, have mercy on my son." And the word mercy in the original language is eleo, eleo. And that word means to have compassion. In other words, this dad was asking Jesus to have compassion. He was asking Jesus to have mercy on his son. Let me tell you, this kid was very sick. In essence, this young man was epileptic. Matthew describes this youth with a nervous disorder. He says that he had convulsions and seizures, and that he would foam out of the mouth, or foam at the mouth. And he was out of control. But then Mark tells us that this young man could not speak. He couldn't hear anything. So he had a severe case of epilepsy. He was deaf, and he could not speak. I mean, this is really bad. And to top it all off, the father said to Jesus he was a danger to himself and probably to others. He would often fall in the water. and even on the fire. But there was something else here that the Bible says that this child was also deep, or this kid was demon possessed. Mark says that this evil spirit would make this young man curse and utter profanities. Because you see, cursing and profanities and expletives and the middle finger is the norm for the demons. Did you know that? That's the norm. That's their world. Church, cursing people out, using curse words, is not of the Lord. And we as believers should not use such language. Everybody hearing what I'm saying? How many can say amen to that? So we need to be very careful, church. And this young man had been like this since he was a child. So this dad was pleading to Jesus for help. And what made matters worse, the text is going to tell us that he had went to his other 9 disciples. Remember, Jesus was on that mountain, Mount Tabor, in the Mount of Transfiguration with only 3 of his disciples. The other 9 were at the bottom of that mountain. Verse 16. This is the dad telling Jesus. He says that I brought him to your disciples and they could not heal him. Man, now that became a big problem. Because he would think only Jesus could heal. Only Jesus can do that kind of miracle. But I want to show you something. I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Listen to what Matthew says. This is what he says. And he called to him his 12 disciples, all 12, and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. Did you hear that? We're in Matthew 17. This is Matthew 10. Jesus had already given them the authority and the power to cast out demons, to heal every disease. We're now in Matthew 17. And his dad gives Jesus the complaint. I went to your disciples, and they couldn't do it. There was no reason why they couldn't heal that young man. There was no reason why they couldn't cast out that demon from that boy. So let's do a recap. This is what's happening. We have a helpless dad pleading for help. He's asking for mercy. He's asking for compassion. Someone please help. Then we have the disciples. Powerless, not able to help. They lacked the faith. It was a chaotic moment. So what Jesus says next is something that we really need to pay attention to. What Jesus says next, you should probably highlight in your Bible. Make note of it. Because what you're going to read is about a frustrated Jesus. You only read that these kind of verses only a few times in the New Testament. But here Jesus is plainly, evidently not happy for their lack of faith. On the other hand, a few weeks ago we were looking at a paralytic man that had 4 buddies. Remember that? He had 4 buddies. And those 4 buddies made a big hole through Peter's house. And they brought down his paralytic friend, his sick friend, so Jesus could heal him. And finally, if you recall, Jesus says, because of their faith, you are healed. Because of their faith. So it pleases God when we put our faith into action. But here, Jesus is not happy for their lack of faith. So I want you to listen very carefully to what Jesus tells them. And I'm going to read from verse 17 and 18. And this is what Jesus said. And Jesus answered, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me." In verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed immediately, instantly. Mark's version says that the demons recognized who Jesus was, because the demons know who Jesus is. He is God. He is the Messiah. He is the King. And he tells us that the moment that they saw Jesus, the boy started convulsing, but Jesus healed him instantly. Jesus healed him immediately. As the disciples saw what Jesus did, guess what they started doing? They started scratching their heads and asking, wait a minute, why couldn't we do this? Verse 19, read with me. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. And all you need is a faith like this little mustard seed. Wow. I mean, what an incredible statement. All they needed is to have a faith like a grain of mustard seed.
Hi, Pastor Manny here. We thank you so much for tuning in. It's a true blessing for us. If you like what you heard today, please go right ahead and download the message or share it with others. But we also invite you to come to our church at Boynton Beach. God bless you all.